from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State and beyond. And I'm going to answer a question. I know I'm going to get to our sponsors here in a second, which I'm very, very grateful. But Matt Cavell out of Indiana answers me a question. And I've been getting this a little bit. And my apologies. We've been a little bit lax on the podcast end of things that you can pick up on wildmichiganradio.com. But Matt Cavell of Indiana loves the show, and I appreciate it. But and what I really appreciate also is you guys are not afraid to call us out on a lot of things. We have not had so many podcasts over the past couple of months because we have been on the road a lot lately with SHOT Show, with the Archery Trade Association show. So we have had to do, I don't really like to call them best of, but more of some rebroadcasts that we've had to do of the show. Not something we like to do, but because of our travel schedule and me being the guy that puts everything together with, of course, the help of Alex Clark, our engineer downstairs, it gets a little tough around the end of the year and also the beginning of the year. And keep in mind, too, that I am also a disc jockey at a classic rock station here in the Lansing area. I host on a news talk show, and I do a public service radio show also. So I'm doing four shows, but so it gets kind of tough sometimes, and my sincerest apologies. But I am forever grateful for everybody that takes the time out of their day to listen to any portion of this show. That said, we will do our best to get things going, and we don't have another road trip planned until the first week of March when I head off to the Bassmaster Classic again. To work with the great folks at Dick's Sporting Goods. So I'm looking forward to that. So back to the normal portion being brought to you by Darton Archery, also Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com, and Costa Sunglasses. Some great people helping bring you Wild Michigan. And again, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks to all our guests in the first segment of the show. Going to go to my good friend Chaz Thompson, miiceguys.com website, podcast, and ice fishing fanatics that you guys are. Chaz, you guys are getting ready to put the USA ice team back on the road in the air and off to where are you going, to the Ukraine again?
Chernobyl, Ukraine. No, Chernobyl.
Oh, okay. I'm like, Chernobyl? Wow, that's dangerous.
Yeah, we like to say we're using glow-in-the-dark bait, not glow-in-the-dark fish.
So what brings us on? You guys, you know, our good friend Chad Schaub will be with you, too, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, Chad. He's out on the NAIF sea trail right now with Anthony. But they're coming home, and then we're jumping on a plane with our good buddy Seth as well. And we're the four MIS guys back on the team again this year.
And that's cool. Now, give us a little insight, because the fishing over there in Eastern European fishing, it's very different than what we experience here.
Yeah, when we go fishing for the world, they do what they call simple fishing. No gears on the reels, no power augers, no flashers, no electronics of any sort. And in a lot of those countries, you can do that without a fishing license. They view it as a basic right as long as you don't use complicated stuff. But they have, with that setup, they're in more of draw the fish to them rather than go find the fish like we do with our flashers and power drills and everything like that. So we use a lot lighter tackle. In fact, we use palm rods and jigs that a lot of us guys over 40 have a lot of trouble seeing the eyelet to thread through the hole in the head on them. It is really tiny equipment. And a lot of times they put us on smaller fish because smaller fish are harder to hook. They've got a little tiny mouth. They're very finicky. They bite very light. And it really shows off the skill of the angler and the whole team to be able to master that style of fishing.
Now, that's, again, like we mentioned, that's a completely different style of fishing. And it, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys are kind of chumming these fish a little bit with little flecks of food to kind of draw them into you?
Well, we don't like to call it chumming because, you know, chumming strictly is using fish parts. Mm-hmm. We use ground bait. And it might be bread and spices and some seeds. And, you know, there might be even a little bit of glitter in there or something like that to attract the fish to the hole. When you start out with a new hole, you bait the bottom with a feeder. And that's a cone-shaped thing with a lead bottom that you lower down, give it a jerk, and the bottom will swing open, and a big plume of this bait flows out around, and that brings the school into where you're fishing. Then as you're fishing and catching fish, you continually feed from the top, so bait is trickling down. The idea is to bring the school up closer so that you can get fish up through the hole faster, because we keep every single fish as we're doing this.
Chaz Thompson is our guest here on Wild Michigan. You can find him on his website, miiceguys.com. We'll throw a link up on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Going over to Eastern Europe with the USA Ice team. And what's funny is, first of all, so many people do not realize that we have a United States ice fishing team. And what people really don't realize is a former world champion ice angler lives about like a mile from where I used to live here in the Lansing area. Mike Bodecker was a world champion ice angler. You know, it blows people's mind that Michigan is such a hot spot for the best ice anglers in the world.
Well, they're joking that the Michigan guys are going to take over the team. Because once again, we have a majority on the team. We have some new guys from Nebraska and Minnesota joining us this year, as well as some of our good friends from Illinois and Wisconsin that have been on the team for several years. But the Michigan crew, we still stand strong and do really well in the tryouts to hold our spot.
And what does that take anyway? I mean, for those who don't know, and I've been told, but of course, over the course of a year, I tend to forget, and I apologize, but what does it take to be a member on the on the USA Ice team?
Well, we have two positions, and the first one that everybody thinks of course, is the angler, the guy actually doing the fishing. And the tryouts for that are held in mid-March in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And a lot of what they do is competition drilling, it's running on the ice, and it's hand drilling. You're drilling through about 30 inches of ice, and the first challenge is usually drill 25 holes as fast as you can. Then there's fish catching, and they put them on little tiny fish, you know, quite often bait fish over there in Wisconsin, and they're fishing with the palm rods and the little 1 and 2 millimeter jigs. It's tough competition.
Yeah.
And the other side of it is the tactician spotter, and we're the guys that are supposed to be looking around, making decisions to move the angler, watching the pace of how they catch fish compared to the other country. Because they're using a spring bobber that is super, super sensitive. If they're not watching it, they're not catching fish. So I like to tell them, keep your face in the ice hole.
That could go so wrong. but since we're talking ice fishing, it's pretty easy. Chaz Thompson is our guest here. What species, when you go over there, when you're going over to these countries to fish, what are the exact species that you're fishing for?
Well, we're told that on Lake Ternopil that the dominant species that we're going to catch are going to be roach, which looks like a big shiner. You can get them anywhere from 4 inches up to 8 or 9 inches. And redfin perch. Now, it differs from our yellows because it doesn't have the big belly on it. It still has the stripes and such, but it's a very dark dark-skinned fish with blaze blood red fins on the pectoral.
All right, we're going to talk more with Chaz Thompson here. MIiceguys.com is where you can find his website. Got a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. We're going to talk more about the USA Ice team as they get ready to head across to the icy conditions of Eastern Europe here. And, man, I'm jealous. But I don't know if I could fly that long. We'll talk more with Chaz here in a couple minutes. And again, there's some really cool merch on the MI Ice Guys website. Again, find it, wildmichiganradio.com.
Of ClaireBirchley.ie, inviting you to fish. County Clare, Ireland. Now back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez here. Ternopil, Ukraine. It's where the United States ice fishing team is going to be heading out to. And our good friend Chaz Thompson is one of them. Chad Schaub, another one of them. Chad, of course, doing quite well. He is out ice fishing a tournament trail right now. And Chaz, let's talk a little bit about ice fishing in your area. You're in the Grand Rapids area. Here in Lansing, where I'm at, you know, around the surroundings, I've been a little nervous about going out for fishing because we've had warm-ups and cool-downs, and I really don't know how the ice has been in our area, but, you know, you got to get out, you got to practice. How things are around Croton and some of the places you've been going, how's that ice out there?
Well, we were on Croton on Sunday, and it was between 7 and 9 inches of ice out there, so we got plenty of ice over here. Around the Grand Rapids area, I'm finding 5-6 inches in most places, which is fine for walking out there. You still want to be real cautious about an area that might have some springs. If you see a wet patch, I recommend just going around it. It's usually a clue that there's something wrong there.
Yeah, that's you know, that and trapdoor ice, which a lot of times you're not going to see, can be very difficult. Always have your spikes and never fish alone. Just a couple of the basic things you should know before going out ice fishing. And you know, it can be sketchy, but you know, and we like everybody that listens to the show and even their friends too. So safety first. But you said to me the other day off air that. It was a tough bite on Croton, and you were having a time trying to get the crappie to bite, but you got them to go.
Yeah, I had to drop my bait size down real small, and one of the mistakes I see a lot of guys doing is the guy that was fishing 20 feet from me was making a mistake. He was putting too much plastic or meat, or, you know, a grub or something in comparison to the size of his jig. And so the fish were just ripping the bait off and not getting to the hook. You got to be real careful about that when you go down in size. So I went down in size, and then as I got them biting, I slowly worked it up in size, and that filtered out the little fish and got me into some bigger fish. And then I got into some real nice ones where I was actually able to switch over to a spoon.
And that, you know what, and we like that. We like the fact when you can get out and get some not only fish, but some good quality fish. And again, you know what? Appeal to that bigger fish. Make it look like something that they're going to want. I mean, and always switch things up, like you said, because variety, not only the spice of life, but you never know what's going to trip their trigger when you're out on the ice.
And quite often you have to induce almost a feeding frenzy, enticing sometimes the smaller fish to get the activity going to where the other larger fish that you're really targeting get interested. When there's activity, they're like, oh, what's going on? And then they'll start fighting as well.
Absolutely. Speaking with Chaz Thompson here on Wild Michigan. Chaz, of course, aside from the USA Ice team, you are involved with Schmoe's Brewery in Grand Rapids as a brewer. And so, look, I know the brewery keeps you very busy. How do you find time to ice fish?
Well, a lot of my responsibility at the brewery is outside events and festivals, dinners, things like that, tasting. And during the winter, those things tend to slow down, especially around the holidays. And so I just substitute that time for let's go fishing.
Nice. So Grand Rapids area treating you pretty well then?
Yeah, we're doing real well over here. The beer's flowing. We've got ice. We're fishing. We're catching limits. Still having to work at it a little bit. I'm going out probably the next 4 days in a row. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time before we leave for Ukraine. We leave on the 11th of February. So we're pounding as hard as we can to get into practice we can get. And also to make sure that we get fish in the freezer.
Now, getting to the Ukraine, this isn't something that you guys are paying for out of your pocket, but then again, it's not like this super well-funded organization either. There's got to be a fundraiser involved to help you get over there, get you and your equipment over there to do the fishing.
Well, a lot of us, we initially probably pay for it out of our pockets. It costs us about $3,000 a person for our contribution, in addition to what the sponsors provide. But, you know, I'm doing a little online fundraising. The team does some online fundraising. And then also we're selling some merch.
Yeah, I noticed on there that there's some USA Ice Fishing apparel that you can buy. The Stormy Cromer hat, you've got some suits on there, and I really am in love with that hooded sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah, I've got my hooded sweatshirts with me today. I'm going to be fishing in that this afternoon. All those companies have come on as sponsors. They've donated those items to the team members for us to wear when we're over there, but then they've also made them available for the general public. Who wants to support a little bit, can buy one, remember the USA Ice team, advertise a little bit for us, and get the awareness up, because we're always looking for new anglers, like we talked in the previous session, and we're also always looking for some more support. It doesn't get any cheaper to fly to Europe.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't get any cheaper to fly anywhere, despite the fact gas prices have been down. It's difficult to fly. I've done enough of it already this year. But if you want to help these guys out, miiceguys.com is Chaz's website. And that's where you can pick up some of this great merchandise on there for the U.S. Ice Fishing Team. And tell me about the podcast. What have you guys been covering on your podcast for the Ice Fishing Show?
We've been doing a lot of early ice. We also did the... we always have a segment on there about the world. You know, people always want more information about, well, what do you guys exactly do over there, and how does the competition work? Does it go by size or weight? We answer all those kind of questions on there. And then in our last, most recent one, Steph and I, we went through a whole 10-12 minute thing on recipes, changing it up a little bit. Maybe not the, you know, just grab the grapes. We're changing it up with some saute recipes, some rice recipes. A lot of different things, because we catch a lot of fish and we get bored just like anybody else and just keep frying them all the time.
All right, make sure you check him out. Chaz Thompson joining us here on Wild Michigan. Appreciate you joining us. Best of luck, Ben, for you guys going off to the Ukraine, and you can see all that information on their website, miiceguys.com. There's a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Dude, as always, best of luck to you. I think I'll be heading to Grand Rapids this weekend for the Hunt and Time Expo, and I'm sure you'll be on the water someplace.
Yeah, I'll be out fishing, and get those podcasts out, because I listen to them too, and I get the same kind of emails when I don't put podcasts out. So
yeah, you know, and again, it's not that we're not trying; it's just we've been on. It's from November 1st. To about February, it gets difficult because we have so much travel involved. But we're trying to keep things up and get it going. And again, to our friends all. And what's really great is everybody all over the country. We see California is like our third largest listenership, which I don't get, but I like it, because you know what? It means not all of California is in the anti-hunting community. We like California. We like everybody else that listens. Chaz Thompson, appreciate you joining us. MIiceguys.com. We're going to talk a little bit about a new book coming up here in a little bit. Listen to Wild Michigan, wildmichiganradio.com on the Michigan Talk Network.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world. My God, we're global. WildMichiganRadio.com. You can pick up the podcast and check out all of our stuff there. Being brought to you by our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, Darton Archery, Costa Sunglasses, just to name a few. You can find those, again, at our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Pick up the podcast there as well. As I mentioned in the earlier segments of the show, on February 27th, Whitetails Unlimited is going to have their Michigan Deer Camp coming up at the the Radisson Hotel, downtown Lansing, I believe is where it is, back to. Our good friend Travis T-Bone Turner from Michael Waddell's Bone Collector will be there. We ran into Travis and talked with him and Nick Munt at the SHOT Show last week in Las Vegas, and we'll be having a T-Bone on the show here. We'll talk more with him as we get a little closer to the date. Also, I ran into Bruce Mitchell from Swamp People. Bruce is the shirtless guy that wears the bib overalls and the bandana. Super nice guy. And if you saw the picture on our Facebook page, he's not like the 6'8" guy you would think he is. But we're going to talk with Bruce here in the next couple of weeks as well, because he'll be making a Michigan appearance. But right now, Jerry Hamza has a brand new book, his first, called Outdoor Chronicles, True Tales of a Lifetime of Hunting and Fishing. Jerry, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. This is quite an honor.
Well, no, it's an honor for us, because this is your first book. And I'll be honest, I've not had a chance to read it. But when I think of a lifetime of hunting and fishing, I you know, there's like highlights. You have highlights of like your first deer or your biggest, you know, steelhead, or the opportunity to hunt at a specific place. But there's a lot of bad things that can happen up until that point. I mean, which I think it really kind of takes away from all of that. What, you know, all the bad stuff kind of goes away, but it's still part of the trail. And is that what you're writing about? Because, I mean, a lifetime of hunting and fishing could have all kinds of ups and downs in it.
Really, what the book is about is it's about life with a backdrop of hunting and fishing to it. So you don't necessarily have to be an outdoorsman to like the story. It's a collection of short stories, and it just it covers all kinds of things. One of the issues in the book, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma about 5 years ago, and it's part of the impetus for writing the book is that I said if I made it through, I know that it's a cliche thing when we make deals with life. But I said if I made it through, I was going to do the things I wanted to do, and one of those things was to write a book, and that's what pushed me over. It's a very soulful book. If you what happens in life. One of the things I talk about, and it's a big part of the book, is that it's about living a real life instead of this electronic virtual life that we've all become ensnared in.
I get that. And look, I mean, thanks to Facebook, everybody's life is better than it appears, you know, but not always the case, obviously.
Well, you know, it's just, we've undergone in the last 25 years, this transformation where, you know, we are tied into the electronic world almost 24/7. You know, I look at young people, and if they left their phone at home, they panic. And just an illustration, I have a daughter just turned 23, and we were I was watching an old movie, a Doris Day Rock Hudson movie. It was called Pillow Talk. Mm-hmm. And the whole movie's premised around shenanigans around a party line. And my daughter's like, huh? She's slipping out. She goes, did that really happen? And, you know, I said, yeah, I had one growing up, and she just couldn't get her head around that. So we've gotten really busy with technology. And the point of my book is that there's this, we live in a real world, and there's this great world, and it's, you know, it's good to have time out in it.
You know, you brought up a really interesting point in the conversation about the party line, because I'm 49. I'll be 50 this year. My fiance is a few years younger than me. She's in her 40s. And we are one generation away from the outhouse, even though we still used it at my grandmother's house. She had it for a long time. She had a party line. So a lot of people have this disconnect and the surprise on their face, like your daughter, when you realize that you had to share one phone line between several families in a rural area. It's not everybody connected. But then again, I find myself, like you say, freaking out because I've forgotten my phone. But sometimes in a tree stand, I'll do that on purpose. You know, I'll take myself away from being connected. And believe me, it's the most fulfilling thing in the world.
And actually, that's what the book is about. It's about leaving your cell phone at home and getting out in the tree stand, or getting out on a river to fly fish. You hit it on the head. And you also made a valid point about being one generation. We're one generation away from meat coming to us in a pink styrofoam clear wrap container. It wasn't always like that. You know, meat in the grocery store is a fairly new idea. And, you know, so hunting and fishing is such a deep part of our heritage. And, also I don't want to make it sound like this book is real serious, because most people end up laughing out loud when they read it. So there's a fair amount of humor. I spent 32 years of my life in the management of George Carlin, the comedian. And so it does have kind of there's a funny slant to it as well.
You know, I was going to bring that point up, and I'm glad you did. Working with someone whose comedy was yet so straightforward and straight man almost, that has to be cool, yes, but that business in itself is very difficult. Show business, as you know, I work in classic rock radio also. I mean, I've been doing radio for 20-some years. It's not what everybody thinks.
No, the road is a cruel mistress, is and it's one of the sayings that. But it had the upside was, I was traveling over 200 days a year, but I was taking my fly rod with me and occasionally, a compound bow. So I got the good part is I got to hunt and fish all over the continent. But it is tough, you spend one night in a city, and then you go to the next city. And people, you get to see everything. Not really. No. There were times on the road where, halls and hotels start to look the same, and you're like, people ask you where you were last night, and, you'd have to take your schedule out to say, I was in Saginaw or something like that.
That's awesome. Jerry Hams is a guest here. He's the author of the book Outdoor Chronicles, True Tales of a Lifetime of Hunting and Fishing. And Jerry, it's so good to connect with you on this. Even though this segment, we're short time, we have a whole other segment. I want to talk to you a little bit more about the book. A lot of people don't realize how difficult it can be. Like you said, it's like a Spinal Tap episode where you come out and like, hello, Cleveland. No, Cleveland was last night. And when we go to these shows, we're looking at a hall for 12 hours, 10 hours a day, and you don't see the city you're in. And it's really nice to connect with you on this, because I get it as you do, and to be able to intertwine hunting and fishing in that is amazing. And we're going to talk more about the book in the next segment. So hold with me, please.
You got it.
Going to speak with Jerry Hamza, author, Outdoor Chronicles, True Tales of a Lifetime of Hunting and Fishing, brand new book. We'll have a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. A lot more coming your way, man. Check us out online, wildmichiganradio.com, on the Michigan Talk Network.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network, wildmichiganradio.com. The road calls will be at the Bassmaster Classic coming up in March, Tulsa, Oklahoma. We head out and hopefully we'll have everything squared away. A couple of a new show for that week before we leave, but we're going to be on the road a lot. We've got, of course, the Whitetails Unlimited Banquet coming up on March 11th, the Pheasants Forever Banquet coming up, and You can check our schedule at wildmichiganradio.com. Find out where we're going to be. We'd love to see everybody. But we're back with Jerry Hamza, author of Outdoor Chronicles, True Tales of a Lifetime of Hunting and Fishing. Jerry, you had mentioned in the first segment that you were diagnosed with, was it non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Yes.
And where is that right now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm knocking on wood. I've been in remission for 3 years. If I can make it another 2 years, they'll call it cured.
Good.
So that part is kind of cool. Cancer is a horrible thing. You know, we talk about the, you know, we talk about it, but unless you live it, you it changes you profoundly. I'm a nicer, better human.
No, I get that, and I've seen that firsthand, and I'm happy for you, and we'll be, you know, hoping the best for you with your fight, because it is a constant battle. And when you have something like that happen, and you step outside of yourself and look in, and you said you wanted to write this book, having worked with George Carlin as long as you did, the outdoors thing doesn't seem to be the obvious for somebody like myself. But it's really nice to know that you at least had some opportunities. And if you don't mind me asking, what was his take on hunting and fishing? Because, you know, his style of comedy was such that I don't think it ever entered my mind for him to be associated with that.
You know, George was born in Hell's Kitchen. And so he was, you know, a very urbanite, very left-leaning person, but he respected, he respected that I hunted and fished. He was, it's funny, when his first book came out, you know, he autographed it to me, and he said that if, when you shoot one of them deers and they're not quite dead yet, go hit him with this book, and it's sure to hit him in the head with this book, and it's sure to finish him off. So, he was very pragmatic in his view on those kinds of things. I have been lucky. One of the great things, like I said, is, I've fished and hunted everywhere. So, it meant a lot when you look back. When you look back on a lifetime of it, it's like, I remember the San Juan Michiganites, you guys don't know what a treasure you have in your Upper Peninsula. That is such a cool place. I don't know if you go there often.
Oh, yeah, every chance I get. I'm there at least 3 or 4 times a year. It's 3.5-4 hour drive, depending on where I'm going, and sometimes it's a lot longer where we go. But no, I agree, because even the attitude of the people is very different when you have that almost, if it not for the bridge, a disconnect from the lower portions of the state, some of the more urban areas. And there's not, and I'm not picking on anybody in the state. Everybody in Michigan has their own personality, and as does every state you go to. But there's something so special about our Upper Peninsula to me that, this is one of those places that when I go, I always tell myself, you know what, God, if this is it, now is okay, because I like it that much.
Yeah. I understand. But, hunting and fishing in Detroit is a whole different thing.
Walleye fishing on the river is fantastic come springtime. I'll say that. And we had some conversation earlier in the show that because of some of the abandoned buildings and some of the overgrowth in the area, they're getting quite a nice pheasant population in urban Detroit. So there's, a little ray of sunshine with that. But your book, this isn't a how-to book at all. This is your experiences thrown in from the road and from your life in general. Are there some that really stand out in the book to you?
There are some that have some meaning. Prose to Poetry, I really like. It won the Robert Travis Award. Robert Travis, by the way, or Volker, John Volker, was an Upper Peninsula guy. And, he wrote a book, Trout Magic, and You know, so that one's special to me. There's one called Wananish that I like, and then there's another one I really like. It's called Cottontail. It's just a micro shot of life. You know, I think most of the people will recognize, especially in Michigan, because it's about like the struggle when you wake up and it's really cold out. You wanted to go hunting, but you know you're warm under the blankets. Do you want to come out of the blankets? And then it's a solitary walk, and I enjoy it. You know, if you read John Gearock, it's something like Gearock. Patrick McManus, which I love Pat. So mm-hmm. It's got some of that in it. Mark Twain. It's a collection of essays, short stories. And like I said, it's about life. There's subtle morals in it, and it talks about retracing your steps at some point. Everybody who's read it has liked it. I get emails every day of people saying, yes, you get it. You, I've lived that. I didn't know how to say it, but you said it. And one thing was great. I got an email earlier this week from a guy who was, he wrote me, said, I've been trying to explain to my wife for 30 years why I like to hunt and fish. And she read your book, and she came up and hugged me and said, I understand. So, he was grateful that, his wife read the book and it translated why he loved to hunt and fish, and she got it. So that was kind of cool.
I got one more quick question. We're speaking with Jerry Hamza here on Wild Michigan, author, his new book, his first book. Jerry, after Skyhorse put it out, got it on the shelves, at that point in time, you said, you know what? I've done this from here. If it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Was it just such a feeling of accomplishment to have it done that from there you almost, you care but kind of don't?
One of the things that I didn't expect, and, it hits different people differently. At some point they send you a notice whether your book is in the Library of Congress or not.
Mm-hmm.
And my book got accepted into the Library of Congress. And, that hit me. That was such a thrill. It was like, okay, now I'm part of this country's permanent record. And that touched me in a way. And, it reaffirmed that this late life career was a good idea. And, I love writing, and I'm almost done with the second book.
Well, good. Now, where can we find, do you have a website? Is there someplace that we can put on our website for people to go to the link and go directly to you?
Yeah, it's jerryhamza.com is my website. And if you want to get a signed book, you can go directly to my website. If you don't want to, I know that a lot of the Barnes & Noble has been carrying my book. I know that you can go on Amazon and pick it up. You can go on eBay and pick it up. Or you can, if you want my signature, and I'm not sure why anybody would want that, especially, you can go to my website, jerryhamza.com.
I'm saying this in jest, okay? So, hopefully we have some anti hunters listening, because I love when people don't like me. If you just need to club an animal with the book, that's because you ran out of arrows or bullets, you can use that to take the line from Carlin. But please, first, listen to the whole show before you make a judgment on that statement.
This is America.
Absolutely.
And one of the great things about America is that we have freedom. And the thing about freedom is the tolerance of other people's freedom. Do your own thing, but don't touch mine. That is the anthem of America. And no matter what your view is, you have to respect the other guy's view.
All right. Jerry Hamza, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us. This is Wild Michigan. His book, find it. We'll have a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Outdoor Chronicles, True Tales of a Lifetime of Hunting and Fishing. Heard it here first. Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.